You'll find the scripture lesson right there in your bulletins. John chapter 13, verse 1, from the New International Version. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. May God bless us as we feed upon his holy word. Back during the Revolutionary War, a man in civilian clothing rode past a group of soldiers who were doing some very heavy repair work on a defense barrier. And their leader was there yelling at them, shouting instructions, but not lifting a finger to help them. And the fellow on the horseback asked why, and the man reported, "Well, sir, I'll have you know, I am a corporal." Well, the stranger apologized. He got off his horse and stepped down to help those exhausted soldiers. And when the job was done, he turned to the corporal and said, "Mr. Corporal, next time you have a job like this and not enough men to do it, go to your commander-in-chief and I will come and help you again." It was George Washington. You've heard the expression, too many Indians and too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Well, this describes Jesus' disciples on the eve of his crucifixion. They had visions of glory, of ruling with Jesus. They even fought over which of them was the greatest, and they jockeyed for the left and the right hand of Jesus in the kingdom. But Jesus, in one simple act, showed them what it was all about. He got up after supper and did what none of them was willing to do. He got up and he washed their feet. On this night, when we obey Jesus' command to partake of communion, it's good for us to review this lesson in servanthood. So let's go once more to God's holy word. Let's go to verse 1, which is our text we just read just a moment ago. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Jesus was gathered with his disciples for one last meal. These men were very precious, very dear to him. He had chosen them after a night of prayer, seeking his Father's counsel. And he had lived with them, walked with them, worked with them for over 3 years. He had seen them at their best and at their worst. The result of all this? He loved them. Our text tells us that he now showed them the full extent of his love. Literally, it means having loved his own, he loved them to the end, or he loved them completely or loved them perfectly. I do like the way the NIV has rendered it, though. It gives more of a sense of what I think Jesus is really meaning. Let's go on to verses 2 to 5. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. The supper was over. John doesn't tell us about the Lord's Supper itself. He leaves us to look to those details in the other three Gospels. But he tells us far more of the conversation that happened after the supper. John sets the stage for what Jesus is about to do. Judas has already decided he's going to betray Jesus and is just waiting for the time to do it. Jesus knows exactly what is going to happen in the next 12 hours. He also knows who he is, that he came from the Father, and as God himself, he has all authority. He will soon return to the glory of heaven. What he does next seems to be so very out of place for the Son of God. He got up, took off his cloak, which meant he stripped down to his underwear. He tied a towel around his waist and filled a basin with water. And then he proceeded to wash his disciples' feet. Now, why did he do that? Quite simply, it needed to be done, and it hadn't been done. Everyone in those days wore open sandals, and the streets were made of dirt. They were either dusty or muddy, depending on how much moisture there was. And more than that, the streets were dirty. They were filthy. People threw their trash out into the streets. And donkeys walked along those streets and did their business as they went. So one's feet would probably be very dirty by the time arriving at a dinner party. And normally a servant would be there at the door to greet the guests and to wash their feet as they came in. But in this case, there was no servant. Only 12 men who were too proud to take the role of a servant. When Jesus started to wash their feet, it shamed the disciples. He was doing for them what they wouldn't do for one another. Here is the master acting like a servant. Well, he came to Peter, and Peter refused. No, you're not about to wash my feet, Lord. Just leave that water there. I'll do it myself, and then I'll take over and finish the job. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part in me. And Peter, always one to go to extremes, said, then wash my hands and my head as well. He wanted all the blessings that God had for him. In verse 10, Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. We go on to verses 12 to 17, where he explains what he did. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Yes, Jesus is their teacher. Yes, he's their Lord, but he's just washed their feet. Yes, he's greater than they are, but that didn't stop him from serving them in this very humble way. Jesus tells them that this is an example for them to follow. None of you is greater than me, your master. So none of you should be too proud to serve one another. So you will wash one another's feet from now on, and you'll find blessing in doing it. It was right after this that Judas left to go and betray Jesus. Verses 31 to 35 are some of the very most profound in the whole Bible. When he was gone, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will only be with you a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Heavy stuff. Jesus is saying goodbye to his disciples. Where is he going? First to the cross and to the tomb. And they're not going to follow him. And then after that, the resurrection, where they'll have a brief reunion with Jesus. And then he'll go to his Father in heaven. And again, they cannot follow him. So Jesus leaves them with some words to live by. Love one another as I have loved you. How has Jesus loved his disciples? He's put up with them for all these years and just now humbled himself to wash their feet. And by this time tomorrow, he'll be dead and in his grave, dying for them on the cross. Jesus is telling them to love each other in this way, to bear with each other, to serve each other, even die for each other. And he said, this is how the world will know that you are my disciples. It won't be because you're the smartest, the richest, the most beautiful people on earth. It will be because you love each other, and everybody will see that you love each other. That's so different from the normal course of things that this love will mark you as mine. It's really hard for us to relate to what Jesus did, because our streets are paved and clean, and we wear shoes. We don't have animals leaving their droppings in the street for us to step in, and we put our trash in garbage cans and get it picked up. Our feet are clean when we arrive somewhere. And if by some chance we did step in something, we can leave our shoes outside until they can be cleaned later. Yet Jesus commanded his disciples to wash one another's feet. How do we do that in this day and age? What does it mean for us? How do we obey this command? The Amish and the Mennonites do wash each other's feet each time they observe the Lord's Supper. But I think that Jesus was teaching us a principle of servanthood that we can apply each and every day of our lives. It just struck me that we are so much like Jesus' first disciples. We all like to have our ego stroked. We like to think that we're important and that God and our fellow Christians couldn't make it without us. And everybody ought to recognize that and serve us. After all, my life isn't easy. I can stand for someone to lend me a hand from time to time. So we fight with one another. The disciples argued at the table as Jesus was introducing them to the Lord's Supper about who was the greatest among them. And we contend with one another. We raise little disagreements to the level of core principles and slug it out. Why doesn't everybody just recognize that I'm right and agree with me? The trouble is everybody else is thinking the exact same thing. So much for the world knowing that we're his disciples by how much we love each other. Look at Jesus' frame of mind when he washed his disciples' feet. He was headed for the cross, and he knew it. He would endure abuse beyond what we can ever imagine. Whipped within an inch of his life, forced to wear a crown of thorns, and then compelled to carry his own cross to Golgotha. There he was nailed to the cross and left hanging in the hot sun to die by inches. You'd think he'd be too preoccupied about what's coming for himself to care about his disciples. But you're wrong. He lived out for them all that he had taught for them about himself. Matthew tells us of a time earlier when the disciples had fought among themselves about who was the greatest. And the mother of James and John came to plead their case for Jesus to give him the most prominent spots. And in Matthew 20, 25 to 28, Jesus answered them. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 2, 5-8, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." Jesus' words to us tonight: love one another and show that love by serving one another. If someone offends you, don't get angry. Forgive. If someone needs your help and it's really not convenient, help them anyway. Especially if, it feels like it's beneath you to do something, that's a sign that you should do it anyway. And if someone you help doesn't seem to appreciate it, don't grumble about it, but be glad you had a chance to help. The world around us will know that we of the Bloomfield Presbyterian Church are Jesus' disciples to the extent that we love one another, and they see that love. Toward the end of the 19th century, a large group of European pastors came over to one of the great evangelist D.L. Moody's Northfield Bible conferences. And being Europeans, they followed the custom of the day, and whenever you were in a hotel, you would leave your shoes outside at night, and the hall servant would come by and pick up the shoes. He'd clean them up, polish them, leave them by the door before morning. But this is America. We don't do that here in America. Dwight Moody was walking down the hall of the dormitory, and he saw the shoes, and he knew what was going on since he had toured Europe. And he realized how embarrassed these brothers would be if they found their shoes untouched by morning. So he gathered them all up, took them to his own room, and started polishing. And that would not have been known except one of his friends happened to stop by and caught him right in the act of polishing all those shoes. His friend sat down to help, and he told a few of his other friends, and they all took turns polishing those shoes the rest of the time the conference went on. That's love, and that's service. And that's what Jesus calls us to do for one another. Love one another as I have loved you. Let's pray. Precious and gracious Lord, we thank you so very much for your wonderful word. We do want to love one another as you have loved us. Let our selfish pride and our egos get in the way. Help us to be like you, Jesus. You did not hesitate to go and wash your disciples' feet. Help us to do that for one another, to serve each other any way that needs to happen. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.